Well, this story came to us exclusively through a listener's tip, and it sounded unbelievable to me. But what the listener told us was that there was a brutal rape in our state 11 years ago. They just put the rapist, the accused rapist, in court, and he walked out for $1. And when you hear the details of this story, I think you're going to be as flabbergasted as I am. Our reporter, Hannah Scott, has been working on this ever since we got the tip, and she joins us here. Thanks for doing all this, Hannah.
You bet, Dory.
So let me give some of the basic details of this. There is a guy who in 2007 picked up a woman near 2nd and Pike in downtown Seattle, took her into a car, an accomplice drove her and him to a homeless encampment where, according to the certificate of probable cause, he brutally raped this woman, held a screwdriver to her, told her that he wanted her to be a prostitute working for him, and she said, no, you'd have to kill me, and that's when he held a screwdriver to her and then brutally, violently raped this woman. All of that's pretty much what you found.
That's absolutely everything I found. She talked about how she begged him to stop. Things like that. It also says that she was also raped in the back of the car at another point, and that she told him when he asked about her being a, told her he wanted to prostitute for him, that she would rather die. He would have to kill her. She wouldn't do that.
Okay, so all this is back in 2007, but at the time, the woman went to the hospital and they did a rape kit?
Right, yep, she did report it. She actually, I should point out, she, in the car, because the accomplice came back after the rape in the woods, picked them both up. They drove her around for hours. Sometime during that time, this guy's ID dropped out in the back seat where she was. She saw it, and then he threatened to kill her if she identified him to the cops or said anything like that. Now that she had seen his ID, she didn't listen. When she got away, she went to the police, and then was taken for a rape kit back in 2007.
Okay, and what they found? Well, first of all, how long did it take them to check for DNA, the guy's DNA, with this rape kit?
Until 2016, that was finally submitted to the state crime lab for testing.
A brutal, violent, forcible rape, and for 9 years, they don't check for DNA?
Well, and that's, I don't know how much you know about our rape kit backlog. That's what happened. That was going on here forever in our state. It was up to each individual department, police department, when or if they would submit these at all. Some police officers wouldn't submit them if, you know, the victim knew the attacker. They thought it was a no-win case, something like that. Others just thought that I don't know what they thought. They just didn't submit them. In 2015, we passed legislation. Now they're all supposed to be sent in. But this one didn't go till 2016. I'm trying to find out if SPD had it that whole time or
right.
It was somewhere in the middle. I'm not sure yet, but it didn't go to the lab till 2016.
So when they finally did do the test, they found a match for a guy named Johnny Lay.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about this guy?
Johnny Lay is a pretty much chronically homeless person. He lived here in King County for a long time, had major issues with crack cocaine and other drugs. He is also a registered sex offender. He had an incident in 2001. What I know about that is that it involved a 14-year-old when he was 28 years old. It's a third degree, so it's, you know, not as bad as some of the others, I guess you would say, but he's still a registered sex offender. So a big deal there.
So did they have to extradite him from Illinois or
no.
Or was he out here now?
Yeah, so he had left. He moved from King County back in July or so of last year, and they issued a bench warrant for him, $500,000, back in May after they matched the DNA. Then he voluntarily came back here.
So he comes out here, he goes into court, and again, there's a violent, forcible, with a deadly weapon. I mean, I assume the screwdriver is considered a deadly weapon.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
You're holding it to a woman's head. So now fast forward to what happened in court with this guy.
Okay, so he's now charged when he comes back with rape one. He goes to court. Prosecutors are feeling pretty confident in their case. They want a it's just an arraignment. You know, it's his initial appearance. They want him held on $500,000 bail. They make their argument, which is essentially just what you just said. This was a violent crime. He's got a history. He's a registered sex offender. We need him to stay locked up until we get to, you know, go on with the case. And then his defense attorney, Lay's defense attorney, went to the judge with this.
In 2007, the state had my client's name and his arrest history as part of the investigative file. They had his DNA on record at that time. They had physical evidence Yet the state took no further action in terms of investigating the case. The state waited until late 2016 to submit the physical evidence for DNA testing.
So he also pointed out that the Lay had come back voluntarily, knowing he had that big $500,000 bench warrant out, that he's been working for the last year. He goes to NA meetings and is essentially on a better path.
Okay, so the defense attorney's argument is essentially, since the state waited 9 years when they could have moved on this sooner, obviously they don't think it's a high enough priority to justify the $500,000 that they're asking, and the judge tended to agree with the defense attorney?
The defense attorney's argument was, look, you can't say he poses this danger to the community when you waited this many years, and the judge wanted to see if the prosecutors had anything to say. They seemed kind of surprised by that and really didn't have any more to offer. And so the judge released him. And actually, the jail log said $1 bail, but the court records show just on his own recognizance. But he was ordered to CCAP, which is a community corrections daily check-in kind of a thing. And they help you with, you do services, you have to do, you know, checks for if you're taking drugs, things like that.
Okay. And I appreciate if this guy's trying to turn his life around, if he's been somewhat clean for the last 10 years. But I'm still incredulous, Anna. A violent rape with a deadly weapon and a guy who has a homeless history. And we've certainly seen plenty of stories in the news recently of where homeless people are just in the wind when we want them back in court. And they let him walk.
And maybe that's a legal standard that I don't understand. The judge seemed to think he needed more proof that this guy posed a threat. And what they had just wasn't enough, given how long it took to take any action on this. The fact that even after they got the DNA results back, which was in late February of this year, it all came back.
Okay.
And then prosecutors didn't file charges until May. So that, he pointed to that, too. He also pointed out, and I don't have the answer on this yet, statute of limitations is 10 years. So with the filing of this case is beyond that.
Is there a statute of limitations for rape one?
It's 10 years. There's an effort to change that in Olympia. There has been for a while. It has not passed yet. And so right now the presumption is it's 10 years. But the prosecutors told me they were disappointed with this zero bail and that he's out on his own recognizance. But they're still moving forward with the case. His next court appearance is June 19th.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm reading the certificate of probable cause from 2007 and what he did to this woman is animalistic. It's brutal. It's and the idea. And when was he in court? The
Monday. This Monday.
Just this week. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we will absolutely stay on top of this and see if the guy shows up for whenever they demand him back in court, I trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're still waiting to confirm today. He has till today to register back as a sex offender here because right now he's registered as a homeless sex offender in Illinois because that's where he was living. So they tell me here that he has till the end of the day. I know from the court records, though, that he's staying with some friends in Kent.
Okay. And as Hannah said, this guy's background includes a felony domestic violence, no contact in 2001, stolen property in 1995, controlled substance 97, and then what Hannah mentioned, third degree sexual motivation assault on a 14-year-old back in 2001, failure to register as a sex offender. So just a long, long history. I want to thank the listener who tipped us off on this story, and I thank you for all the work you did on this.
You bet.
Okay, Hannah Scott, and we will stay on top of this story for you. Love to hear your thoughts, as always. You can text us at 98973, and we have much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.